fellowship, cleanup. So anyway, we'll, I'm not going to run late today. I hope I'll try and, I might just try and cut a couple corners, for our word study today. It's actually two words we're going to be contrasting. And so we're going to look at, we're going to emphasize one word this week. And, the other word I have in mind, for next week. And so, the words are, dokimazo. And so dokimazo. And then the other word we'll look at, and we'll, Lord willing, emphasize this word next week is pyrazo. So there are two different Greeks in the word, in the New Testament, two different Greek words. You know, it's interesting when we look at the King James, many times they're translated identically. I mean, we see them both translated prove, try, examine. And they are, and they would be considered close synonyms, but they do have a different nuance, a different meaning to them. And so, you know, we'll look at the differences because they add a little bit to our understanding. There are definitely important differences in a few key places. And so let's pray and we'll just get right into our word today. Father, thank you for the day. We're thankful just for the opportunities that we've had to share in your word, to fellowship with one another, to be reminded of some important things in your word. We pray your spirit would guide and direct in this hour, and may we be edified, and we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen. And so dokimazo, you know, there's a lot of, well, there's a lot of differences depending upon the lexicons you would look at. You know, in Green's lexicon, just to emphasize a little bit of a difference, you can see a little bit of a difference in Green's between dokimazo and pyrazo. By the way, I do have a Strong's number today. Not because I found my Strong's, but I was looking at something and I saw the Strong's number and I thought, well, so the Strong's number for dokimazo is 1381. And if you also, for dokimas, which is a noun, that's 1384 in Strong's. Pyrazo, let's see, pyrazo, 3985 is the Strong number there. So let me just give you Green's definitions, and then we'll talk about the meaning of these two words, and then we'll look at a few occurrences with dokimazo. So Green says of dokimazo, to test, to prove, to put to the proof. And so you see there to prove. You know, there's a, so on pyrazo, he says to, let's see, where are you? So to make proof of, trial of, to tempt, to subject to trial. So it's not real strong, the differences there. But when we start to look at these two words, dokimazo has the idea to test, to determine the genuineness or the presence of value. It's kind of looking at genuineness or value of something. It's where pyrazo also is used of testing or temptation, but it's a test to determine where something is weak or deficient or inadequate, unworthy, a test to disqualify, if you will. And so let me just show you an illustration of both words, and then we will look at dokimazo. So for dokimazo, I want to go to Luke chapter 14 and verse 19. And I'm not going to develop the context, but I just want you to see this word used. And so in Luke 14, 19. And so we have an illustration here. And So Luke 14, and another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I will go to prove them. And so this is, here our word is just translated to prove, to kind of test them, you know, for their worth, for their value. And so in this example, you can see Dakimazo then, you know, this is a test to determine just, you know, exactly what he got, you know, how they're a value here. And so for Pyrazo, you know, just to illustrate this difference, and we'll come back to Pyrazo next week, but let's go to Matthew 16:1. Did I write this? And so here we're going to see our word pyrazo for next week. Just translated tempting. So in Matthew 16:1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting him, desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. And so this tempting, it's a, they're looking for a way to disqualify. And so we'll get into that word a little more next week. So these are the nuances of these two words. We're going to focus on dakimazo today. And so to test, determine the genuineness or the value, to test for approval. Kind of the idea is, and I mentioned the noun dakimas is a word typically we would translate approved. And so when somebody passes the test, if you will, that's dakimas. Or approved. Let's just look at, let me look at that now in just a couple times real quick. Let's go to Romans chapter 14. So Romans 14 and verse 18. Here we have the noun dakimos. Let me pick up in 14:17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, talking about the sphere of salvation here, but righteousness and peace and joy. And we translate this by the Holy Spirit, not in, but by. And so we have righteousness and peace and joy by the Holy Spirit. And then we see further explanation of this in 18. For he that in these things serves Christ, and I want to translate not acceptable here, but well-pleasing. This is our word, well-pleasing, in these things, the serving. And so here you see the, what I want to say, these aspects of the fruit of the Spirit, going to be necessary to be well-pleasing. but for he that in these things is serving as a slave, Christ is well-pleasing to God and approved, there's our noun, approved of men. Let me grab one more illustration. By the way, the noun occurs, that particular noun occurs 7 times in the New Testament. I didn't give you word counts for our two verbs. Dakimazo occurs 23 times in the Greek New Testament. Pyrazo occurs 39 times. And so there's some, but let's look at the noun dakimos just for one more illustration. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. And so we'll pick up in verse 18. But he that is not glorious, King James glorious here, we're going to translate two words differently here in verse 17 for boasting and boast. So he that is boasting, let him boast in the Lord. For not he that commendeth himself is approved. There's the, our word, dokimos, approved. So commending, just standing together with himself is literally, commendeth himself is approved of God, but whom the Lord commendeth. And there's just standing with. And so there's, you see the idea of approved. And so when we come to these verbs with dokimazo, it has the idea of testing for approval or proving. We could translate it proving sometimes, but testing for approval. It kind of, many times in the context where this word's used, the testing that's being referred to, it implies that the outcome will be approved or can be approved. And so let's go ahead and look at some of these places. Of course, 23 occurrences, we're only going to survey a few, especially since we're starting so late as well. But let's go, you know, whenever you have synonyms and you know, it's not unusual for people to try and make different Greek words to be the same word. And so if you have these words in the same verse, right, that's always a good place to start to demonstrate they can't be the same. And so we do have a verse where we have both of these words in the same verse, and that's in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. And so it's interesting here, in the King James, the very first Greek word, or the very first English word in the King James is examine. And I had mentioned that, in the King James anyway, both of these words, are translated examine. They share some English words in common in the English translation. But this word examine is pyrazo. And so it's interesting when you think about that, because pyrazo is to test for something, for deficiency, you know, for a weakness or for something that would be unworthy or disqualified. And so this first word that we have in this verse, examine yourselves. The idea of you know, examine yourself for deficiency is the other kind of the idea is for whether you be in the faith. And then he goes on. Now the next clause in the King James, then we get to dokimazo. And the King James translates it here, prove. Prove your own selves. And so here, this is, you know, to test, to determine the genuineness. And so prove your own self. And then we see how that Jesus Christ is in you. And it's just that Jesus Christ is in you. And so you can, be proving that as you testing for approval, as you put the Christian life into practice. And then you see, he says, except you be reprobates. That's the King James, by the way. And the word for reprobates, is a form of our root with an alpha privative on it. And so just the idea of unapproved, unless you be unapproved. You fail the test for approval is kind of the idea, unless you be unapproved. And so we're going to just kind of go through a few contexts, dokimazo, just to illustrate the nuance of this word. And so let's go ahead and let's go to 1 Thessalonians. And so in chapter 2, in verse 4, we have our word in the Greek twice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. Now, the King James obscures the first form of dokimazo because it translates we're allowed in 1 Thessalonians 2, 4. And so let me go ahead and so Paul, he's looking back at his entrance into Thessalonia. He was coming there from Philippi. He was treated pretty roughly at Philippi. And well, let me just back up to verse 2 and 2:2. But even after we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. And so, you know, this was something that was supernatural. And he says in verse 3, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. And now when we get to verse 4 here, it says, but as we were allowed of God, it's, by the way, there is a hupo directly by God, not of God, but in the word were allowed, that's our perfect passive of dokimazo. And so as we just stand as having been approved, that's kind of the idea. And so that the perfect, so as we stand as having being approved by God to be put in trust with the gospel, he says, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God. Now here's the second occurrence of our word that's translated trieth, but by God, which tries our hearts. And this is our word, dokimazo. This is, and this is just a present participle, by the way. How do we want to translate this? Just testing for approval. He's proving, or we could just translate it straight, proving in this participle form. But God who is proving our hearts. And you know, hearts, you know, that's a larger term. It's looking at the inner man. It's looking at the mind, the emotions, and the will. And so here you can see as Paul's focus was not on pleasing men, but rather God, the one who's proving our hearts. And so that, in other words, Paul's saying is our hearts were being approved or proved, if you will, as he was living the Christian life and doing these things in the face of much opposition because he was supernaturally enabled to. So there's a couple of examples of dokimazo then. Let's go over to Ephesians in chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5, you know, Christians are a quality of light in the Lord. And you see that, I think, let's see, that's Ephesians 5, 7, is that right? Yeah. And well, let's see, 5, 8 is what I want. And so in Ephesians 5:8, now our verse, we're going to get to dokimazo in 5:10. So in 5:8, Paul says, for you were formerly times darkness, but now ye are light in the Lord. Walk as born ones of light. And so order your lives as born ones of light. And so, and when we consider light and darkness in the New Testament, you know, light refers to God's quality of life, you know, being manifested through human flesh. And so we can, so we're a quality of light in the Lord. Walk, you know, order your lives as born ones of light. And so light in the Lord, it's interesting that title there, Lord, by the way, you know, a reference to him as the head of the body, the divine master. We're going to be we are a quality of light in the Lord. Walk then, order your lives as born ones of light. And then in the next verse, for the fruit of the Spirit, and I know some translations are going to have light. There is a textual variation there. And so for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And then we come back to, so this connection, and I'm going to understand it here as fruit. And so the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. And now in verse 10, we just see it translated proving. This is our word, proving. It's a present active participle. And so that present tense with the participle, it kind of seems to be emphasizing continuous action. And so just proving. Now, I know some of your other translations, I don't like what the New King James did here. It says finding out. New American Standard, trying to learn. It's just the idea of proving or testing for approval, continuously proving what is. Now, the word here, acceptable, this is well-pleasing again. I'm not trying to get into Dave's messages for Titusville, but well-pleasing. We did a word study and looked at this word a long time ago for well-pleasing. But just proving what is well-pleasing unto the Lord. And so the idea of testing for approval or approving. Let's go to another occurrence. And so I'm just going to try and fit as many as I can in our remaining time. Let's go over to Galatians. And so Galatians in chapter 6. And we'll pick up in 6:2. Our verse is going to be 6:4 though. And so in 6:2, you don't have it in your English probably, but it says fulfill the law of Christ. I believe the article that's there in the Greek should be reflected in the English, as I understand it, in the overall context of Galatians. And so in Galatians 6:2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens. And so fulfill the law of the Christ. Either way, we're probably going to still wind up at the same place, the new commandment to the church, to love one another as Christ loved. Now, as we move down here and we look at verse 3, it says, for if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. And so it's interesting, the word for deceive here, it's a little different than the normal word for deceive, because it has the root that connects us back to a frame of mind and to wander. And so it's just, I don't know how the best way to translate this, but he's deceiving the frame of his mind that he's deceiving. He deceives the frame of mind of himself is kind of the idea. Now in verse 4, we get to our verse or to our word, dokimazo. And here it's just translated prove. And so let each one prove his own work. And so the idea of prove, now it's a present active imperative. It's a strong suggestion, present tense, kind of emphasizing continuous action. So let everyone or each one continuously be proving, testing for approval or proving his own work. And then shall he have rejoicing. And the word rejoicing, I think this connects to boast. Then he shall have his boast to himself alone, is kind of the idea, and not to another. And so, just let each one. Now, I see some translations go with the translation examine. Let each one examine. And, examine isn't bad as long as you keep in mind the nuance of docimazo is to examine for approval. It's kind of how I would, if I was going to be using the translation that with examine, it's to examine, with a view to approval or for approval, to examine for approval, his own work. We'll see this can be consistent with a few other places. We'll get there. So let's go to another place where we will see this verb used over in 2 Corinthians. Let's go to 2 Corinthians in chapter 8. And in this context, where they're looking up at taking up the collection for the grace gift to the poor in Jerusalem. And the whole idea of this grace gift for these Jews, the poor Jews in Jerusalem, initiated it in Corinth. And so Paul's coming back and encouraging them now to be ready to participate in this as they're coming back around. And so in 2 Corinthians, and our verse, by the way, is going to be verse 8. And so I'll pick up in 8:7, though, just for a little bit of context. So he says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that you also abound in this grace also, kind of the idea of this grace gift also. So in verse 8, Paul says, I speak not by commandment. This isn't a legalistic thing. Paul's not telling them they absolutely have to do this. And so he doesn't speak by commandment, but rather, he says, by occasion, we'll just say by the occasion of the forwardness of the diligence of others. He says, and to prove, and here's our verb, prove, to prove the sincerity of your love. And so this, the idea of here of to prove, to how do I want to translate this? I'll just probably translate, it's a present active participle. And so the participle in the present tense, to the proving. And so to the proving of the, not the sincerity, well, I guess sincerity would be good, but it's the idea of the genuineness of your love. And so it's not by commandment, but by occasion of the diligence of others and to the proving of the genuineness of your love, the testing of the proving of your love, the showing the approval of your love, of your agape love. Well, let me pick another verse where we have our verb used. And this one actually relates to the Lordian table. And so let's go over to 11:27 in 1 Corinthians 11:27. Now, we know the Corinthians, they were having troubles at their love feast, if you will. They should have been manifesting the oneness and the equality that they share in the body, but they were doing the opposite. And so when we come and we participate at the Lordian table, it's not something we should just do on automatic pilot or something that we should do lightly. We could potentially be bringing judgment upon ourselves in the form of child training. And so we can see that we see some of them were being child trained, and we see in verse 30, it says, "For this cause many are weak," kind of the idea of ill, "and sick, sickly," kind of the idea of feeble or crippled, and a number sleep, talking about, physical death, being brought home early. Now let's back up to verse 28 was where we'll have our verb used, and it's a present active imperative. But let me pick up in verse 27 for context. It says, "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily," and in a manner that's unworthy, "shall be not guilty," we're going to translate this word liable, "shall be liable of the body and the blood of the Lord." Now in verse 21, it says, "But let a man examine himself." And it's interesting because this makes a big difference when we understand the nuance of this word. To examine for approval. And so let a man examine himself. It's a present active imperative. And so let him be, this is a strong suggestion, let him examine himself or prove himself. We could, if we want to keep the idea of examine, you could say examine himself for approval as it comes to the participation. And so let him examine himself for approval. Now, that's important because if this was pyrazo, if we were to examine ourselves for disapproval, we probably would have a lot more of us holding back from participating. if we're examining ourselves for disapproval or in a way that we could be unworthy. But here, this is dokimazo, to examine himself for approval or test himself for approval. And then he says, "And so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup." And so you do have the explanation in verse 20. It says, "For he that eats and drinks unworthily eats and drinks judgment unto himself, not discerning the body," and so not seeing, making the distinctions and seeing the body and our part in the body as God would see us in the body. Okay, I'm going to do a couple more here. Like I said, there's 23 occurrences of this verb. These verses will be familiar because we've been in these verses the last couple weeks for some of our other word studies. But going back into 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, let's go back to verse 3. And in verse 13 is where we have our verb. And it's translated in your King James as shall try. And it is a future tense. And so this is looking at a future testing. But remember, this is a testing for approval. And this is dealing with each one's work. And so in verse 11, we see Paul mentioned that Jesus Christ is the foundation that he laid, that was laid. Now, if anyone build upon this foundation, gold, silver, and precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, each one's work shall be made manifest. So here we see work being built upon the foundation. And each one's work shall be, or will come to be made manifest, clear, evident. And he says, for the day shall declare it. The day is going to make it clear. Now, here we're going to find out, you know, quality makes a difference. We live in a day that, people want to think about quantity more than quality. But when it comes to our work, quality makes a difference. The work that we do here, the work that we would do with Jesus Christ as the foundation. And we see here, he says, because it shall be revealed by fire. And so, and the fire shall try. And now shall try. There's our word translated shall try in the King James. And so it's a future tense. And so the fire will test for approval. That the fire is going to be proving it. Every man's work of what sort it is, what quality it is. And so, I mean, this is important because the believer, we've already been judged in Christ. There's no condemnation to the ones in Christ Jesus. But we do have an appointment, if you will, with the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, to have our works judged. And the works are going to be judged as to the quality, what the quality of the work is. And it's going to be tested for approval by a quality of fire. And what doesn't stand up to the quality test is going to be burned away. It's going to be gone. It's not going to stand up to the test, if you will. But that which has been built upon the foundation properly and stands up to the test and is approved will be rewarded. And so that's what we're looking for when we think about, you know, future judgment for us. It's the works and the quality. And tested for approval, though. And so that's important in that context. And you see in verse 14, if any man's work remains, which he has built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If anyone's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as by fire. Just through fire. And so, it's a process we all will go through, and we'll kind of find out, what's the value of the works we've been doing while we're here? Well, ultimately, it's going to depend upon how well they reflect what God has prepared for us and how well it reflects the foundation. Jesus Christ. And so that's an important context there. Now, the last place we'll look at, and again, we were in this context before, but it's important, and so I didn't want to leave it out, is in Romans 12:2. Romans 12:2. Now, dealing with the will of God. And so I've got a Greek student here, so I can ask him, so how do you typically handle ice ta with the infinitive?
Oh,
Yeah, it's usually going to be a purpose or result, probably a purpose here, an ista with the infinitive. So our word dokimazo here, it's in that grammatical construction, ista, and then our dokimazo is actually in a present infinitive. And so it's, that tells you grammatically that Paul is looking at a purpose or result clause. And so this is, so when we get to our word that's translated in the King James, prove, there's a purpose involved in what he's talking about. And so, so let's read 12:1 because it's 12:1 is important in view of the will of God, because it's going to be hard for a believer to be consistently doing the will of God if he hasn't made this mental commitment in 12:1. And so Paul says in Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore, brethren, through the compassions of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy. And again, we keep coming across these words. I have to change that. King James, acceptable. That's our word, well-pleasing. You know, it's interesting. A living sacrifice means you're living to God. Holy, set apart, well-pleasing. Okay, so prioritizing, who are you trying to please? Well, hopefully no longer just yourself. And so, holy, well-pleasing unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's the idea of reasonable, it's logical. And the word service is the idea of priestly service. If you're going to, in other words, this is your logical priestly service is to do this. This makes perfect sense. And then in verse 2, he says, and be not conformed to this age. We need to change the translation from world to age here. He's looking at the legal age in the context. And so stop being conformed to this age, the legal age. That's not going to mature you. That's not going to make you set apart to God. It's not going to make you well-pleasing unto God, the legal age. But be ye transformed by the renewedness of your mind. And so Dale was touching on the mind this morning. And so the believer has a quality of the mind of Christ. We have a renewedness of mind. We can think differently than we could prior to when we were saved. And we can actually think God's thoughts. And we can understand the deeper things of God because of the Holy Spirit. And so he's saying here, be transformed by the renewedness of your mind. And now we get to our purpose clause. And so it says that. And so if you wanted to make this a purpose clause, you know, to kind of reflect the Greek grammar, you could put in order that, or you could put just the word so that you may prove. Here's our word, prove. And so the idea of proving, putting to the test, to approve, so that you may prove what is, and the King James, so that you may prove what is that good and not acceptable here, but well-pleasing. Coming back to well-pleasing. What is good, well-pleasing, and perfect will of God. Now, I do kind of like what the New American Standard did here in their translation. It kind of follows the Greek. If they say, now you do have to change world to age in the New American Standard, but the second clause, but be transformed by the renewing, just the renewedness of your mind, that, or just so that you may prove what the will of God is. And see, then it's that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. Describing the will of God. That's good. It brings an inner well-being. That's not just acceptable, but it's well-pleasing. And I do like to translate, usually this word that they translated, perfect. By the way, it's teleion, right? So a lot of times we translate that complete or mature. In this context, I actually don't mind perfect. I would prefer just to keep it perfect, because it is perfect. When we talk about God's perfect will, it's perfect. And so when we understand that's the perfect thing for us, we want to be understanding and proving what the will of God is, that which is good and well-pleasing and perfect. But this is this proving, this is it is the idea of it testing, examining for approval, testing for approval, or proving what is the will of God. And so here you can see that this is a potential for believers. We can absolutely be knowing what the will of God is, but we're going to be having to function in the realm of the renewedness of our mind. We're going to have to be spiritual Christians. And then we can be proving what is the will of God. And as we live that out, then we do end up experiencing what is good and what is well-pleasing and what is perfect. And that's a beautiful thing. So anyway, there's a number of other verses we could go to, but I see the time. Dokimazo, to test to determine the genuineness or the value, to test for approval. And we're going to come back, Lord willing, next week, and we're going to contrast this. And so we'll do a little bit of review on dokimazo, so we can contrast it with pyrazo. And so, Lord willing, that's where we'll be next week. Father, thank you for the day. Again, we thank you for your word, for this salvation. Thank you for grace. We're grateful for the fellowship that we're able to share with one another. And when we're in the right condition and we're spiritual and abiding in Christ and He in us, that we can be having fellowship, sharing in common with all the persons of the Godhead. May we be those that are being edified through these truths, and may we be growing in grace and a full experiential knowledge of our Lord and Savior. And we would thank you in Christ's name. Amen.
Yeah. Huh. So there used to work. people will just get it back to them.
Yeah.
They don't get close to them. And there I am. I'm sorry. We're stuck. We have been trying to help them to really get that time. So we don't get that.
Right.
Yeah. So I'm going to go ahead. If I were going to get it off,
yeah.
I would be interested.
And you're going right along?
Right.
No, you can. No. Sometimes it's just to an advantage. Sometimes it's not.
Maybe
you're right. Good, well, I have a good time over yonder.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. Well,